He came for us. He died for us. But He came to change us. He came to make us fully alive. John 10:10. I love John 10:10. He says, "I am come that they might have life and have it to the full," or abundantly. Not mediocre, not passive, but abundant life in Him. Wow. I love the quote from an early church father. And he says, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." See, we're not talking about existing. We're not talking about just living here and sucking air. We're talking about being fully alive. Something that's full and enriching to us. Something that's full of purpose. Passion. This is known as Passion Week, the Passion of Christ. We believe in passion. We live lives of passion. In fact, if you Google passion, you know, Google is a wonderful and a bad thing at the same time. But if you Google passion, you can see what people are passionate about. Let me just give you some. People are passionate about alligators and artichokes and birds and castles and, here's mine, chocolate. Can I get a witness? Okay. Fashion, fly fishing, flying, gardening, golf, hang gliding, hunting, jazz. You can buy books on about being passion for mushrooms, needlepoint, pizza, ponies, potatoes, reading, and shoes. We live in a nation of passion. And I think many times we live in a nation where our passions are misguided. They're really misguided. Someone came to Jesus one time and he said, "You know, I know what the law says, but what I really need to know is, what does it all boil down to?" And Jesus gave him the answer. And he said this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." He said, "The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If we really understand the Bible, we need to understand those two things. Those are the things that define what passion is all about. If we think about the greatest sins of the Bible, and we could go around the room and we could talk about the great sins of the Bible. But I think Jesus summed it up in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. In dealing with the church of the Laodiceans, he says, "You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. You're only lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm," he says, "I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." In more graphic terms than what it literally means, it means you make me want to vomit. What sickens God? Lack of passion. He'd rather for us to be cold than lukewarm. He'd rather for us to be hot than lukewarm. See, we're supposed to be people of passion. But the right passion. The right passion is the thing that we're supposed to be. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. It is either ridiculous or it is the most important thing in the world. There's no in between." God does not recognize in between. See, when Jesus, his passion, can I tell you what his passion was? Take your finger, put it right here, and that's his passion. And you know what he said for us? That you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Because he loved us with all of his heart. We're supposed to love him with all of our heart. And he says the second thing is likened to it. Take your finger, be careful where you put it, and touch the person next to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's where our passion is supposed to be. William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, said this. He said, the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be a religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, here's a good one, politics without God, and heaven without hell. See, passion is a great driving force. I want you to think about medical science for a moment. Thank God that there are people in medical science and research who have a passion to find a cure for disease. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And maybe they'll do it someday when they find the cure for cancer, when they find the cure for all. See, there are people who are passionate about that. And that passion drives them. They're not indifferent about it. See, passion motivates people to great causes. And we need great causes in our life. It equips athletes to break and set new records. And it sustains you in reaching your goals as you go through life. So I want to ask you the question today. What are you passionate about? See, passion energizes us. It's what makes you alive. I remember, sadly, when I first became a Christian. Not that I became a Christian, but the passion that I had for the things of God. I could not get enough of my Bible. I wanted to know the truth. I had a passion for that. I reached for it. I grasped for it. In fact, I pestered some preachers bad, asking them questions. Brother Carpenter, Brother Carpenter and Brother Adams. I'd go knock on their doors and get them out of bed. I know their wives hated me. But see, I had a passion. I had to know some things. You know what God was at work doing? He was at work equipping me for the thing that I had to do in life. See, passion is something that needs to be at the center of our lives. And I want to come back to that place where I have that same passion. I want to finish with the same passion that I started with. But it's so easy to let that passion die. It really is. All you got to do is get misdirected in particular areas of your life. So passion is something that is on purpose. It is really, really, really on purpose. We want to talk today about six ways that Jesus taught us to keep the fire alive in our lives. Are you ready to listen fast? We shortened our services today. We've gone from 1:15 to 1:05. So that means I have to cut my sermon in half. I don't like preaching short. I like preaching long. Can you say amen? I don't like you anymore. Yeah, I'm telling you. So, how do we keep our passion alive? See, I'm getting older. Now, let me tell you what old is. Old is one day older than I am. So I'm always going to be young. I'm getting older, but I'm never going to be old. So if you're one day older than I am, then guess what? You're old. My mother-in-law is old. I don't think she's here. She'll be here third service, maybe. No, but see, one thing I don't want to become, I don't want to lose passion. I don't want to become an old, cranky, crotchety old man. I don't want to do that. And here's the first thing we need to realize, that Jesus knows that we will be better off young. Young. We got to work to stay young. We need to hang around people who think young. I've been around people who think old. Well, that's the way we've done it that way for 100 years. Yeah, and it quit working 90 years ago and you're still doing it. I love something John Maxwell said one time. He says, when the horse dies, dismount. And that's what we need to learn. If something dies, dismount. Do something. And we have to think different. One thing that can never change, never, ever, 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 ever can change, and that is the truth of the Word of God. That will never change. But methods have to change. And, you know, it was sad because I was working out the other day. Not that I was working out. But this older lady was there, and she started asking me about our church. And she said, how many people go to your church? And I told her, she said, you know what's sad? I said, we're lucky if we have 30 people in our church. At one time, this is one of the biggest churches in town. It was thriving. They were full. And she said, it's just so sad. And I said, well, what is your congregation made up of? She says, old people. And listen, there's nothing wrong with old people. But here's the problem. Those old people have become old in their minds. See, Jesus knows that we're better off when we're young. You remember he said, except you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We got to be young, don't we? We got to stay young. We got to stay young in heart. You may get old. You may get wrinkled up like a prune. But listen, you don't need to get old in your thinking. Stay young. Hang around young thinking people. That's a good thing. I like to hang around young people, and they got more energy than I do, but I like to hang around young thinking people. Number two, Jesus knows that you're better off dead. Don't turn to your neighbor. Say, I wished you were dead. Don't do that. But Jesus knows that we're better off dead. Here's what he said. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Now, what's he saying, better off dead? Dead to your own self. One thing that we need to do in life, and one thing that's always going to cause us to be happy, if we can get us off of the throne of our lives and keep Christ where he needs to be. Die to self. Die to what I want. How do you love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself if you're selfish? If you are number one in your life, you're not loving God and you're not loving people. You're loving moi. You're loving yourself. So he says, you're better off dead. So yeah, but if I don't care about me, if I don't take care of me, who is going to? Can I just tell you, if you'll put God first, if you'll seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he says, all of these things will be added to you. So the question was asked, what are we going to wear? How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first, and this will be added to you. He is able to take care of you. Yes. Amen. So you're better off dead. Amen. I know you don't want to say amen to that. That's okay. Number three, you're better off dependent. Here again, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. You're just too dumb. I didn't say stupid. We're seeing. I didn't say stupid. You're just too dumb to realize it, that you are what you are by the grace of God. He gave you your talent. He gave you your gifts. He gave you your ability. He gave you your health. And until we can learn to acknowledge that and that we're dependent on him, Because he says, for without me, you can do nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. That's what you're capable of, is nothing. You won't produce anything of eternal value until you realize that you are dependent on him. Number four, Jesus knows that you're better off connected. Connected. Connection is a great thing. Now, we don't have a perfect church here, but we have a wonderful church here. And I just have to say, it's not because of me. We have a connection of people who work together in this church to make it wonderful. I'm always amazed when we start putting together services and like special services and all of that. I'm not creative by nature. I'm just not. But we have a group of people around us who have ideals. And it's just amazing that when things start coming together, how it all blends and how that God orchestrates it through the gifts and the talents of people that we have here that make it work. All the way from the time that you get out of your car and you come in here and everything that you see and everything that you don't see, there's a connection that takes place that makes things amazing. Amazing. We're better off connected than we are apart. We need people in our lives. You know, that's one of the reasons that God made marriage. You can't make babies by yourself. We have to have connection. That's why we got marriage. We need friends. We need relationships. Why? Because Jesus knows that we're better off connected than we are by ourselves. Number five, Jesus knows that you're better off focused. Have you ever been around somebody that has a hard time for a squirrel? I mean, they have a hard time staying focused. A squirrel. I'm one of those people. Does anybody ever have a hard time concentrating? You sit down and read and you're five pages over and you think, what did I just read? Squirrel. I tell you how bad it is sometimes. I'll start doing something and I'm thinking, oh, I need to do that. I do that. And I come back and I think, what was I doing? And it takes me 10 minutes for it to ever come back to me what I was doing. Squirrel. I have that problem. But Jesus knows that we're better off focused. That we have something that we focus on. That we have a mission that we're focused on. See, he's given us a mission. And our mission, first of all, is to love him. Secondly, we're to love one another. And how we carry that out is our mission and our commission is carrying the message, first of all, by being fully alive to God. There's nothing worse than a sourpuss Christian. There's nothing worse than a legalistic, hating Christian. If you're going to love God, it's going to be a whole lot easier to love people. And we need to stay focused on just two things, loving God, loving people. And how that goes out will be amazing how that God orchestrates that through our life. Number six, Jesus knows that we're better off missional. And I basically covered that. That we do things with purpose. We do things with purpose. It's interesting because interesting fact about Elvis. How many Elvis? I never was an Elvis fan. So I've just gone down in some of your estimation. I always hated hearing him singing gospel songs. They just always. Now I like to hear "Love Me Tender, Love Me Sweet." I love that, but the gospel song, not so much. I'm just weird that way. But it's interesting what his wife said after his death. I want to read this to you. Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to save, maybe to serve, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. Isn't that sad that you can have all of the fame, all of the notoriety, you can sell all of those records, and in your heart of hearts, you know that you didn't follow the mission of your life. See, there have been men like Gandhi who lived a lot worse lives, but who knew what their mission in life was, and they carried it out. So we're to be missional as Christians. That's how we keep the passion alive. I want to end the same way I began. I got to go this very fast. What is our mission? To love God and to love people. Father, thank you today. Thank you for the passion that you've given us. And Lord, help us to refocus where we need to be, where these things are concerned. In Jesus' name, amen.